You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a Thursday, getting ready to come your way here at KGYM on this October the 20th, or otherwise known as the Sports Equinox. We'll get into that coming up here in just a moment or two. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes across the way. Ben on the other side of the glass. And most importantly, you, our listener out there. 319-366-1600. Thanks for tuning in today. We do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. I'll also stop on by. They have many, many, many facilities around the corridor as well as eastern Iowa. Thank them for bringing you the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Great show coming up for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. Big 12 Media Day yesterday. He was there. We'll talk about that and get you ready for the start of exhibition season, if you will. The one-game season and the super-secret basketball scrimmages that are coming up this weekend as well, or in the next week or so. We'll talk about that with Kevin. And then we'll also talk with Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus newspaper as he covers the Ohio State Buckeyes. Iowa and Ohio State from the Shoe coming up on Saturday. That will be an 11 o'clock start. And you can download the Before the Boom podcast starting tomorrow. Go to KGYMradio.com for that. 319-366-1600. That is the text line always available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well, 319-366-1600. Nice Thursday today, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Beautiful Thursday, Scott. And it's apparently going to continue into the weekend, which is a welcome feeling, no question about it. Good afternoon to everyone else out there as well. We'll have a Bowling Night in America recap in addition to an Emo's Hideaway scoreboard. And week 9 in Iowa high school football begins tonight. How about that?
Week 9, and it's almost 70 degrees outside. It will be over 70 degrees tomorrow. That's going to be a welcome change from the norm, but yeah, Kennedy looking for a win in a home game in the first round of the 5A playoffs. They will host Dubuque Hempstead tonight. The Mustangs come down 151. CRMLivesports.com. We will have that for you tonight. Myself and John Hagerty at 7:15 or thereabouts on Cougar Senior Night tonight out at Kingston Stadium. Looking forward to that particular ball game. And there are a few Thursday night Week 9 games that have been picked up by some teams out there, 2A through 8-man, that are going to play. More than we've seen in the past, or last year anyway. I guess that was the past. So a few of those are taking advantage of playing a ninth game, which they get the opportunity to do so. So we got a full boat here today in the program. Sports Equinox, Mark. That is the nomenclature set up by folks out there for a day which has everything in the sports world. We have pro football. We have college football. We have NBA basketball. We have Major League Baseball postseason action. We've got the National Hockey League. We probably have some sports we don't even know about. Of course, we have English soccer and soccer around the world. We'll throw that in there. And other, we got everything going on today. I just wonder about the name because I think we can come up with a better name than Sports Equinox. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I had no idea what it meant, and Equinox doesn't seem to fit for me, but it is basically the convergence of so many different sports being held today and being shown and aired on radio. You can't list them all. I mean, everything's going on, but first time I've heard the term.
I have.
Where have I been?
Well, you don't have this very often. You don't have this very often.
Really?
No, you don't. Thursday night football kind of all going a little bit, but not very often anyway you have it. this one time a year, perhaps Sunday, I'm sure we'll have the same thing. So we're in that big, big, big realm of sports. If you have a better name, let us know. 319-366-1600. Lisa Bluder met the media today down in Iowa City. Doug Schwab, same in Cedar Falls. UNI Wrestling Media Day going on today. And early this morning, the Iowa women with their media day today. And as you would well imagine, it was a very upbeat Lisa Bluder today meeting the media. Why not when you're the number four team in the country in the preseason poll?
Yeah, she's embracing the pressure and whatever pressure there is, and there's got to be some, mentioning that the target is on Iowa's back this year. No question about it. And I think the players, from what I've seen, embracing that as well. When you're number four team in the country, you know, why not embrace it and try to capitalize on it? And that's where Iowa stands right now. And it's going to be a very interesting season. As far as UNI Wrestling goes, we'll talk with Mark Ironside starting next month. But UNI is going to have a nice team. They got seven returning national qualifiers. Doug Schwab doing a nice job up there. Finished 20th in the NCAA tournament last year. It's going to be a really fun winter, Scott.
It is. No more meets, though, in the West Gym. They will all be at McLeod Center from now on, as Mr. Harris made that announcement some time ago right there. Iowa sold over 5,000 women's basketball season tickets this year.
Most ever.
That's a pretty good number. That's a pretty good number. You're going to see some big crowds. You'll always see big crowds at Carver. You're going to see big crowds at Hilton as well. But I think you're going to see it on a more consistent basis this year, especially those big games for both Iowa and Iowa State. And you don't want to forget about UNI and Drake in there as well. We are so blessed with women's basketball in this area. And one player that Lisa Bluder talked a whole bunch about today, incoming freshman, Cedar Rapids Wash grad, Hannah Stulke. I think she's going to get a lot of playing time. I know she's going to get a lot of playing time. And Hannah's a good one. She's going to do a lot of things. And she is going to run the court in a big, big way for the Hawkeyes. Looking forward to it.
Yep, it all gets underway in a matter of what, week or 10 days?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basketball is right around the corner. We'll talk some basketball with Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. We've had baseball last night. We got baseball coming your way tonight right here on KGYM. Game two between the Yankees and the Astros. Houston winning game one with the long ball last night. Meanwhile, the Padres with a heck of a comeback. And I tell you what, the one thing I'm going to remember about that game and this series in 20 years is watching the Nola family in the stands.
That was fun.
It was fun for us. I'm not so sure how much fun it was for Dad Nola. It was a little bit awkward at times because who got that whole rally started for the San Diego Padres?
Nola.
That was Austin Nola. Aaron Nola. And it's tough, man. He had jerseys on of both teams. It's tough, but I thought the most awkward part of it, you know, San Diego scores to take the lead, and person in the row ahead of Nola's dad turns around and wants to high five. And he's like, that was my son that just gave up that lead.
Right.
And my son scores a run. So I felt bad for him. Mom took it all in stride, but Dad looked like he was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, it's not the first time the two Nola boys have met.
But not in this serious situation.
Not at all. And it'd be tough as a parent. Watching one kid is one thing, but watching them face one another on opposing teams, that's quite different.
Did you see Aaron Nola after Austin got that hit? Coming off the mound, his head just kind of went the other way and goes, "Oh, man." You couldn't read his lips because the camera angle was behind him, but it was just, you know what he, "Oh, are you kidding?"
It's a good piece of hitting, really.
It was. He got a high fastball on the outer edge and took it to right center field.
Yeah.
And got things going right there. But I thought that was a really neat moment. You don't get that moment. Rare that you get that moment. Astronomical. You could win the lottery before you get your two kids squaring off against one another in a league championship series and facing one another, one batting and one pitching. Am I wrong about that?
No, just to get two kids to the major leagues is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And then for them to face one another in the postseason, yeah, very rare.
It was rare. But it was interesting, to say the least. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. And then we're going to talk Ohio State football with you coming up as well toward just past the bottom of the hour, and a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you coming up as well here in just a little bit. So we'll take a short break, get a weather update, and come back with more for you on the Gym Class. So stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we're going to have another sunny day today, but it will be much warmer. Temperatures will be climbing into the low 60s this afternoon. We'll have light winds out of the south and west. Later tonight, some passing clouds, and temperatures won't fall too far, just into the upper 30s. Tomorrow, winds pick up out of the south. It'll get breezy, but for a good cause, as temperatures climb into the mid-70s, and we'll be in the upper 70s for the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No, you actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 9th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Back with the other Gym Class, 317 here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour on this Thursday from the Circus Sports Iowa studios. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you as we get ready to talk some basketball with you. As we've been taking the parade around the Big 10, Big 12, Missouri Valley as far as media days are concerned with our friend, the coach, Kevin Lehman, who of course, going to join us once again this winter during the basketball season for our off-the-glass segment. Definitely looking forward to that. But the final stop, I guess, was Big 12 Media Day, as what Kevin believes is the best conference in America in basketball had their media day. Tell us, Kevin, good afternoon, first of all.
Hey, guys. Pulling up I-35, we're heading back to the great state of Iowa.
Awesome.
Just a few days down here in Missouri and Kansas. But I tell you what, the Big 12, they're really flexing their muscles at yesterday's media day. And what they're trying to say is, hey, we've been in the metric system, the top league, 7 of the last 9 years. Now we got something to hang our hat on, because 2022, Kansas, national champs. 2021, Baylor, national champs. 2020, Kansas was the number one seed, even though it was canceled because of COVID. And in 2019, Texas in that championship game when they lose to Virginia. So they feel like they got their chest out, the Big 12. They're bragging about how good this league is. And I think if you look in the preseason top 25, they've got 5 Big 12 teams ranked the top 25. So they think this will be the best league in America again.
Is there a team or teams that might upset the apple cart in the Big 12, Kevin?
Well, TCU, Mark, is the one returning 5 starters. They're picked 4th, highest they've ever been picked. You think a couple years ago before Jamie Dixon came in, they were dead last every year and picked last. So there's a lot of buzz about this TCU team, and if they can challenge Baylor and Kansas at the top. Five-star is coming back, as I said, so that was kind of the talk. This could be the surprise team, and they're ranked top 25 preseason poll, which has never happened before for TCU. They're ranked 14th in this AP poll that came out on Monday.
And Jamie Dixon can flat-out coach.
Well, he proved that at Pitt. You know, he was Ben Howell's assistant there, then followed up at Pitt. But he played at TCU, so this is really coming home for him. And he's got a lot of passion coaching at his alma mater. And he talked about that again yesterday. So he's pretty excited about his team. There's a lot of excitement about the Big 12 basketball down there. It used to be the Sprint Center. Now it's named after a bank, I believe.
What was the talk about Iowa? Yeah, Kevin, what was the talk about Iowa State down there? Not expected to do a whole lot last year. We know what happened. And same scenario or similar one this season. What was the talk about the Cyclones?
Well, there's some talk about Tyrese Hunter leaving Iowa State and going to Texas. And this was a stat that jumped off the page for me also. We've talked about the transfer portal, Mark and Scott. There were six transfers within the Big 12 league where a player left a Big 12 school, went to another Big 12 school, you know, Hunter being the most acclaimed of those. But with the Cyclones, of course, they all kind of felt a little bit of a setback with Jeremiah Williams' ACL tear. But also the fact that the Cyclones, I tell you what, you know, the new coaches that are in the league, specifically from Kansas State, Jerome Tang said a lot of heat on me because of what TJ did last year. You know, they go winless the year before the Big 12, and they get to the Sweet 16. So those administrators saying, hey, if Iowa State can do it, you can do it. But as far as Iowa State goes, I think it's one of those teams where people are wary of because TJ Osterberger has proved he can coach, and even though a team may be not highly acclaimed, he can get them playing very well when it gets into February.
Talk about never underestimate. You think Huggy's just sitting back going, yeah, just pick us 10th. Pick us 10th at West Virginia.
Well, here's the thing. He finished 10th last year, which, you know, is shocking that they struggled that much. And, you know, I talked to Coach Huggins, and I forgot to ask him about Joe Toussaint. That was on my list, and we did not discuss how Joe was doing. I should have done that. But, yeah, that's a tough one to play, West Virginia. He's got a few besides Joe he got out of the transfer portal. So we'll see how the Mountaineers do this year. That's a tough league, though. You got Baylor and, you know, Kansas at the top, and ECU's kind of new guys in the block. And then I think everyone's got looking at what's going to happen with Chris Beard at Texas. Is this thing going to take off for the Longhorns or not?
I know the Big East held its media day recently. Creighton picked to be the top team, and Jack Nungy out of Xavier, first team preseason. So some heady stuff in the Big East, huh?
Yeah, I saw that about Jack Nungy. Good for him. You know, and we always, when he came in, I remember in prime time, it was still going on when Luka Garza and Jack Nungy came in. And at that time, we kind of thought Jack would be have the better career because he was so fluid and such a high skill level at his size. And boy, he just fought so many injuries. I tell you what's happened to the Big East. With Jay Wright retiring, surprised everyone. I think there's just a power vacuum at the top, and Creighton's got a chance to grab that because Villanova's been the team in the Big East for years and years under Jay Wright. But I think it's a chance for Creighton to move into that spot. With Kalkbrenner coming back and Nembhard at point guard, this is a team that's really loaded, the Blue Jays.
Well, and they got a shooter now, too. They got the transfer guy that everybody wanted. From up in the Summit League.
Oh, yeah. Showerman from North Dakota State, because I had that Summit League championship. You know, there's people comparing him to Larry Bird. Guy can shoot threes. He's 6'7", can play all positions. And when you talk to Coach McDermott, he is extremely unselfish. You know, because he's got so many players coming back. He said you couldn't have picked a better transfer person than Showerman to join the Blue Jays. So they are really going to be solid.
I know you and I and Drake held their media days. Drake picked to finish number one in the Valley, but I was really saddened to read that Fife may or may not play again for the Panthers because of blood clots related to long COVID, apparently. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it just doesn't sound good for the young man, and that's too bad.
Well, Mark, I tell you what, he got up and spoke in front of the, they brought in with Coach Jason to talk and answer questions. And when I go around the Valley, this kid is so well-liked. All these coaches in the Valley want him to play, which is kind of rare. I mean, you think you kind of sigh of relief. Hey, we don't have to go against the best big man participating in the Valley. But they all liked Austin Fife so much, and they were so concerned about his health. And, the kid's always got a smile on his face. He's been through so much. The door is open a little bit. He had the blood clots taken off the lungs probably about a month ago, so now it's kind of a wait and see. There's a chance that he could come back in January, but it just didn't seem like health-wise it was worth it for him to try because, if a blood clot dislodges, you got some problems right away. That was kind of the sad news out of Northern Iowa.
Well, in a year where you and I as mid-pack picked anyway with Austin Fife, now without Austin Fife, Ben Jacobson's really facing an uphill climb.
This is a young team. The only senior on that roster is Fife. Of course, I think this might be year number six for him. And they've only got one junior in James Betts. It's a little deceiving because Nate Heisey and Bowen Bourne are listed as sophomores, but they're third-year sophomores. So we've got that COVID year in there. So there's a little more experience than it first appears on paper. And I think Trey Campbell's going to really help this team. I just feel like he's going to really fit in this backcourt. But the concern I have with the Panthers, with A.J. gone, Burhau gone, shot clock situations. Who's going to create some shots for themselves or for someone else? Bowen Bourne is the most likely candidate. But keep your eye on the young man they have from Turkey, EJ Piksaria. This guy's 6'2", 6'3", and plays that European style. He's a great passer, and I had a nice visit with him about playing against older players in Europe. He said, one game I'm playing against a guy that's older than my father. he's used to playing against some grown men, not 19, 20-year-olds.
Kevin, how many is too many in regards to the NCAA tournament? We've got 68 now. There's talk of 88, talk of 96. Everybody gets a trophy. What's going on?
Well, Scott Drew from Baylor threw out 128 yesterday.
Huh.
How about that? So, here's the part when they say we need to give people more opportunities to get in the tournament. They do. Everyone plays in a conference tournament. That's your opportunity. Because when we were at Northern Iowa, when we went to the Valley Tournament, we said, this is when the NCAA tournament starts, today in St. Louis. Because as long as we win, we keep advancing. You win three games down there. Sometimes you need to win four. You're in the NCAA tournament. So that's how we always approached it. So when we talk about expansion, it's already expanded because you're playing in a conference tournament, which does the same thing for you. But, yeah, we talked about this last week, guys. There's a big push. I think it comes down to TV money, which we discussed last week. More money for the coffers in these athletic departments.
No doubt. Well, the next step, we got exhibition games coming up a week from Monday. Iowa will take on Truman State and Jeff Horner coming back for a homecoming. But between now and then, we got the super secret scrimmages. over the country.
They're so secret, Scott. I know everybody's scrimmaging, but I don't think I can stay on air because they are super secret. I don't want to be on.
I think Rothstein let out a list.
I don't want to be put on double secret probation.
I know. You don't want to get in trouble, but that's what we have. And you'll hear about it afterwards.
We know the score. We know who scored how much. It's amazing how much information gets out of those super secret furnishings or scrimmages. But, hey, back to Jeff Horner's team. Well, if he would have kept his team intact, it'd be really good because I'm seeing his players. You talk about transfer portal. The mid-majors robbed his roster. Drake's got a 6'11 sophomore that can make threes, and Indiana State's got two Mason Miller, the former Regina prep star, is going to be at Indiana State, played for Hornet at Truman State, and they've also got a post player that's going to start for him that was player of the year in that league. So Jeff had a really talented team, but he's suffering from the effects of the transfer portal just like a lot of other people are.
The preseason AP poll came out, Kevin. I know you saw that. North Carolina, number one, pretty convincingly, but there's three other teams that received a first-place vote, including Scott's team. Scott is really hot on Houston.
I'm not a big Kelvin Sampson off-the-court fan, but he can coach, and I like the Houston Cougars.
Well, I'm with you, Scott. This guy can really coach. I was fortunate to do a couple of his games when he first took over that program, and I'm with you, too. I'm not a big fan of his off-the-court, but you know he's one of the best coaches in America. And they got Stosser coming back. They are loaded, and you know, a year from now, they're going to be joining the Big 12. And I think most people think that I've listened to that North Carolina, Gonzaga, Houston, Kentucky, a little bit of separation there. You know, Kansas and Baylor tied for fifth. But here's a fun fact that I heard. We just mentioned five Big 12 teams in the top 25. There are no Big 10 teams in the top 10 of the AP poll that came out on Monday. That has not happened. That'd be zero Big Ten teams in the top 10 since 1977. How about that one? So Big Ten, as we mentioned, a little bit of a rebuilding year because they lost so many of their good scorers.
Yeah, Indiana the highest at 13.
Yeah, isn't that an amazing stat? You got to go back to 1977.
That's before Magic.
The Big Ten team wasn't the top 10. Yeah. That is. That was Larry Bird's sophomore year.
Yeah, 77-78 was, that would be Magic's freshman year. So that's a long way back, no doubt about that. And all right, man, well, safe travels on 35, and we'll talk soon as we get into basketball. This is going to be, 2 weeks from Monday, we roll the basketballs out for real. So looking forward to it.
All right, guys. You have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us as he was pulled over somewhere along I-35 on his way back from Kansas City, talking with us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:32. Going to throw it to Mark for a quick Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update before we talk to Bill Rabinowitz of the Columbus Dispatch. And, of course, Emil's Hideaway, open at 4 o'clock each day. They're across from Lyndale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Find them at emilshideaway.com.
Dak Prescott back for the Cowboys. He's scheduled to start this Sunday at quarterback. Cooper Rush takes a seat. Odell Beckham Jr. is in Minnesota for a visit. I know the Kansas City Chiefs also rumored.
No, thanks.
You don't want OBJ.
Nope.
At any rate, OBJ may or may not land in Minnesota. We'll see. The Iowa State volleyball program knocked off number one Texas last night in five sets.
That was a big one.
Down in Texas. Huge win for Iowa State volleyball. Finally, Iowa wrestling. The television schedule was released. And the Hawkeyes will be on television nine times, eight of them on Big Ten Network and one on ESPNU, and plus the Big Ten Championships on the Big Ten Network. So you're going to get an opportunity, if not in person, to see the Hawks quite a bit.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. Bill Rabinowitz will join us, and we will talk Ohio State football with the beat writer from the Columbus Dispatch. Don't forget, Iowa State off this week, but when they return against Oklahoma a week from Saturday, we'll have the game for you right here on KGYM, brought to you by Cardinal sponsor Lisa Nolan. And you can find out more about her terrific realtor business at lisanolanrealtor.com. She is the Cardinal sponsor for football and men's and women's basketball for Iowa State. Quick break. Come back. Talk to Bill Rabinowitz after this.
Start NFL Week 7 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at an even bigger payout. Building my same-game parlay, I like Kyler Murray to go over the passing yards total, Alvin Kamara to go over the rushing yards total, and James Conner as an anytime touchdown score. But you can build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code COON if you don't already have an account. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa, 3 plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets expire 7 days after receipt. Max bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
October is Fire Safety Month, and Menards has what you need to keep your home safe. For over 100 years, Kidde has been the home safety leader, helping you protect what matters most. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected from emergencies. All Kidde safety products are 11% off. Good through October 23rd. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer, and under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Back with you on the Gym Class 336 on this Thursday edition of the program. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Iowa and Ohio State from the Horseshoe in Columbus. That'll be an 11 o'clock kickoff here in the Central Time Zone. The big noon game over in the Eastern Time Zone. And to talk about that particular ball game and everything Ohio State Buckeye football-wise, Bill Rabinowitz, who covers the Buckeyes, been doing a great job with the Columbus Dispatch. You can find him on Twitter at BRDispatch, and he joins us here on a Thursday edition of the program. Bill, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And Ryan Day, on his radio show earlier on today, gave Iowa fans some more bad news. He said both the two running backs for Ohio State are expected to play on Saturday. Things are not looking rosy right now here in Eastern Iowa, man.
Well, Ohio State, like Iowa, is coming off an off week. It gave them a chance to get a little healthier. And so, yes, Trevion Henderson and Mayan Williams, who have been banged up, they kind of alternated. Mayan Williams didn't play the last game against Michigan State. Trevion Henderson was out against, who was that? I can't even remember. They all blur together. Rutgers, maybe. But they're both now healthy now. We do not know about Jackson Smith and Jigba's status. They was pretty coy about that. Mike Hall Jr., though, the defensive tackle, has really been a revelation this year. He is now fully healthy. He only played 7 snaps against Michigan State. They limited his snaps, but he still had 2.5 sacks. So he's a difference maker.
In your estimation, Bill, how good is this Ohio State team?
I compare it to the 2019 team, which is in the, I guess, my 12th year covering Ohio State. That was the best, most talented team and probably the best team. I know they didn't win a national championship by 14 or go undefeated like 2012, but I still think that the 2019 team with Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins and Chase Young, that was the most dominating Ohio State team I've seen. And the only reason I would hesitate about to say the same about this year's team is they really just haven't faced the kind of competition that would lead you to say, okay, this team is truly a great team as opposed to they look really good. I mean, they do look really good, but I'm still waiting for them to be tested, and I'm not sure they're going to be until they play Michigan, honestly.
As far as this being tested, I and all apologies to Wisconsin, but I think that Iowa does present the toughest defense that the Buckeyes have faced to this date. Am I wrong about that?
No question about it. There's no question. I mean, you could make a case for Notre Dame as well. Notre Dame held Ohio State 21 points. That was a first game, and Jackson Smith and Jimmy got hurt early, which kind of messed with their game plan. But other than that possibility, there's no question that Iowa is the best defense. I mean, you know, statistically they are, just the way that Ohio State players and coaches have talked about the Hawkeyes, that there's a lot of respect for Iowa on that side of the ball, at least.
Were you surprised to hear Ryan Day say that 2017 still has left a scar with him?
Well, a little bit, but that was his first year at Ohio State, and that one was just so out of the blue in a way. I mean, it just, you know, the first play of the game was a pick six, so Ryan Day dials up a play. you know, it was a group effort, but the first play he calls is a pick six, and it kind of didn't get any better from then on. And so, yeah, I when you're in a place like Ohio State, the losses are magnified, and that one is the worst loss of the whole time Ryan Day's been in Ohio State. They haven't lost by that many points against anybody. And so, I'm not surprised. And look, coaches will play up anything to get their players motivated, right? So, you know, they use anything. And so that's what he's using this week.
You mentioned the talent on this Ohio State team, and I think that's shown by the fact that CBS Sports had four Buckeyes on the first team midseason, All-American team anyway. And when two are wide receivers that are not named, you know, first name Jackson, that shows the depth that Ryan Day has and he has built up in Columbus.
No question. The receiving core is just tremendous. It's hard to believe that a team that lost Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave could just, you know, reload, as they say, and not miss a beat. Marvin Harrison Jr. has started seven games in his career, and in three of them he has caught three touchdown passes. He has as many touchdowns as the entire Iowa offense this year. Emeka Egbuka is living up to his billing as a five-star receiver, and Julian Fleming is starting to as well. He's been hurt a lot of his career, but he's really come on lately. And if and when they add Jackson Smith and Jigba, boy, I mean, somebody asked Marvin Harrison yesterday about, you know, what are defenses going to do? He basically said, pray. If they get all four of those guys, and you have a very good offensive line, you have Cade Stover as a tight end, who's really been a bit of a surprise in terms of his pass catching ability. They can even go power. They bring in Mitch Rossi and kind of as a quasi fullback, and they've done run out of the eye a little bit, which they really have not done at all until this year. So they can do pretty much everything. And of course, the one who leads it all is one we haven't even mentioned, C.J. Stroud, who just is just so accurate and so poised and it's so good at reading defenses. And so, I don't know how you stop this offense. It'll be curious to see how Iowa does, because this is a good defense, but they haven't faced anything like this. I mean, Michigan's good, but it's a different kind of offense.
Well, the Buckeye defense has to be licking its chops facing an Iowa offense that has, up to this point, been historically bad. Is there any vulnerability in the Buckeye defense?
Yeah, the quarterbacks have really struggled. We figured that Denzel Burke, who had a really good freshman year, it was probably the biggest surprise of that otherwise disappointing defense. He was really good last year as a freshman. He has really struggled, and so has Cam Brown. And, you know, 50-50 balls, they've not done well with those. The other nine spots on the defense have been pretty much lights out. They have a very deep, talented defensive line. Tommy Eichenberg's playing at, I think, an All-American level. Steel Chambers is playing very well. The other linebacker, the safeties, are playing well. But those quarterbacks have been pretty shaky. And that was one of the points of emphasis during the off week. They have the talent. It's just that whether it's a confidence thing or a technique thing, I'm not sure. But that's been the one weak link on this team.
Bill Rabinowitz joining us, talking Ohio State football on this Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. You mentioned C.J. Stroud and came in probably as a Heisman Trophy favorite going into the season anyway. Hasn't disappointed. Some other guys have entered the competition. But what makes him different from the litany of great quarterbacks that Ohio State has had up and down the line recently?
Well, I mean, I just think his command of the offense is so good. But Justin Fields came in, and Justin Fields is a phenomenal athlete. He was a phenomenal player. But he came in and had to start right away. He didn't have time to acclimate very well. And then the second year was COVID, the COVID year. So I'm not sure we ever quite saw him be all that he could be. You don't have to go, look, he was great. He was maybe arguably the best quarterback they've had. But C.J. Stroud was able to come in, learn the first year while playing behind Justin Fields. And then last year he took over. And he studies the game exceptionally well. He's obviously got a great arm. But he's also got great touch. He has his natural leadership skills. The teammates gravitate toward him. You know, he's not a runner, per se. He's certainly not like Justin Fields or Braxton Miller or JT Barrett. But what he'll do is he's mobile enough to spin out of pressure and buy time for himself, give time for his receivers to get open. So that's what he's not looking to scramble. He's looking to buy time to find somebody. And he does it quite well. He's not a statue back there at all.
What do you expect on Saturday, Bill? The spread has gone to 30 points for whatever that's worth. Is it a name-your-score type game for Ohio State, or do you have to respect this Iowa defense to maybe do a couple good things?
Yeah, I don't think it's a name-the-score kind of game. I really don't. I mean, Northwestern, I think, will be that way. Indiana probably will be that way. I think Iowa's defense is good enough to frustrate Ohio State, at least for a while. I don't see how Iowa pulls off the upset unless there's fluky plays, pick six or two, which, obviously happened 5 years ago. I just don't think Iowa's offense is going to do much against Ohio State's defense. And when you put that kind of pressure on an offense to produce that hasn't done that, I don't see it. So I can see it being close for a quarter, maybe even a half. And then Iowa just kind of wilts because they're on the field all the time, the Iowa's defense, and then Ohio State inevitably will get a couple big plays. And but I don't think this is going to be a 60-0 kind of game. I mean, I think I'd pick 41-3. It might be like 17-3 at halftime kind of thing. A little bit like the Michigan game where Iowa hung in, and then it just, the superior talent and Michigan's superior offense just kind of wore down. I think Ohio State's offense is more explosive than Michigan's right now. But, 30 points is a lot of points. But I think that Iowa's defense is good enough to at least make this interesting for a while.
Well, it is 2022, and we are in the era of, weekly beauty contests. So, a 7-point win or a 14-point win isn't going to do Ohio State a whole lot of good. They got to make... they got to make the spread pretty decent, and that's just the times we live in, right?
A little bit, but I also think at this point the only thing that would really hurt Ohio State is a loss. As long as they win, they're going to be fine. And so, in the scheme of things, if they struggle with Iowa, and let's say it's 28-14 or something like that, I don't think in the long run it's going to really affect them too much. If Ohio State goes undefeated, like I said, I think the showdown is. Michigan is going to be for everything. And so by the time that happens, what happens Saturday, assuming Ohio State wins, it's not going to really matter what the margin is.
Can Ohio State and Michigan, if they're both unbeaten going into the final game of the regular season, both get into the college football playoff?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all depends on what else happens. Clemson lose. Does what happens at the SEC with Georgia, Alabama, and Tennessee? Does somehow TCU continue to be undefeated? There's so many factors. Everything's relative. Everything's based on what else happens around the country. But it's unusual. It's never happened where the Big Ten's got two teams in. So I would say the loser's probably out. But if it's some epic game like 2006 and it's clear that these are two of the four best teams in the country, who knows? And who knows how the SEC is going to shake out with those three teams. I mean, last week's Tennessee win obviously shook things up. I don't think Alabama can survive a second loss, but who knows what happens with Georgia and Tennessee. And, it's just too hard to predict. But I think that Ohio State and Michigan are among the six or so teams that are certainly the front runners for the college football playoff.
I got to tell you, everybody in the Big Ten West is a little leery about getting to the championship game in Indy.
Well, as right now, it's probably looking like Illinois is the favorite, right? I mean, who would have thought that?
Or Purdue, one of the two.
Or Purdue, right. And again, who would have thought that? I mean, for a while, first I thought it was going to be Wisconsin, and then I thought it was going to be Minnesota. And now I'm like, I'll just, assuming Ohio State's in, I'll show up on December, whatever. It's, whoever's there is there. It's the West is. I don't know what to say about the West.
We don't either. It's interesting. We'll say that. It's every week you have no idea what's going to happen. You think Minnesota's going to win? They get blown out by 2 touchdowns. So, hey, that's kind of the way it goes. Makes it interesting coming to the station every day. But hey, Bill, appreciate the time. Keep up the great work with the Columbus Dispatch, and thanks for the information. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Bill Rabinowitz joining us here on the gym class program at KGYM here at 3:50.
That'd be boring to cover Ohio State, wouldn't it?
He's written 2 books about great Ohio State teams. The third one may be coming. I didn't want to say that and jinx him or anything like that, but this is a good football team.
Yep.
This is a good football. How'd you like to just sit there? I mean, and cover, let's see, Barrett, Justin Fields. Now you got C.J. Stroud, Olave, Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison. Yeah, it's a revolving door of 5-star greatness. Thankfully, Iowa doesn't get to see Ohio State every year anymore like it used to be, but it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different ball game, and now you can see why a little bit. If you don't go 11-1 or 12-0, people get a little dicey in some of these cities, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's sustained success. Iowa has not experienced that to that level by any means. 85 was probably closest that Iowa was going to come to winning a national championship. And that was spoiled in Columbus. Iowa was number one
in the rain.
Ohio State knocked them off over there. So, but this is just 1 year after another, and great players after great players, and it's a machine.
By the way, yesterday was the 37th anniversary of Iowa, Michigan.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Hey, it ain't helping me any either. Who was behind the north end zone goalpost. Almost caught the ball, by the way. Did not, but almost caught it. That would have been a keeper.
Yeah, I would say so.
By the way, John Campbell did a story on that, who caught that ball. Do you remember that?
I don't.
Oh, yeah.
There's
look
no
it up.
Net or anything?
No net. Or they didn't have it up. One of the two. I think nets were, some people had them, some didn't. But yeah, John did a story about
probably
that.
Probably not, because if Hotland makes it, which he did, that's going to prevent some fans from coming on the field.
Oh, nothing would have prevented fans from coming on the field that day. 3:52, we'll take a break, come back, a couple of texts to get to. We'll have a bowling night in America wrap up for you right after this here in the gym class on KGYM.
How do you make the most of your land? Well, Shaw does it with a John Deere 1025R tractor, so he can
make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
While the Allens use a John Deere 3032E tractor to
grow about 9 acres of flowers.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty. Or find them online at citytractor.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Back with you on the Gym Class of KGYM. You missed our discussion and our talk with Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch. Go ahead and listen to our podcast at KGYMradio.com, also on Apple and Spotify. All of the podcasts from our local shows are available on the website at KGYMradio.com. Before we get to bowling here, a couple of people weighing in on the Chiefs getting OBJ and the Vikings getting OBJ. Tim says, I'll take OBJ. Coach O'Connell was his offensive coordinator last year. He'll get along great with him. But Matt says, no OBJ. Go get McCaffrey. Chiefs aren't getting Christian McCaffrey, man. I assume that's who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce said on his podcast today that there's something in the works. He's hinting. Something was in the works last night, Mark.
There's a lot in the works.
It's a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the tremendous hosts. Each Wednesday night, a Bowling Night in America. Again, on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to the entire staff over there. They help us out a great deal. It was a fun night last night.
Yeah, it was. A nice comeback for the Rusty Nails after getting buried in the first game. Came back for a 19.5 to 10.5 victory over Barry's Lanes. We did dip from second down to third, but not by much. So really no ground lost. Couple teams that went off. Diamond Edge went 29-1.
Gee, who was that against?
Hey, Ben Pels. And Pro Bowling Concepts went 28-2. You're going to gain some ground when you do that.
Yes, you do.
We're pretty happy with what we did last night.
We were very happy.
Highlights, Max Hyatt with a 300, perfect game. Darren Dolman with a perfect game as well in an 845 series.
That is getting it done, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, the city record, I believe, and talking to Lane Loeffler, who's kind of a historian in this regard, there's been a couple series in the 870s.
Yes.
Quincy Bruce, I think, had a
he might
a
have
big
the record
series last year.
Yeah, he might have the record right
but,
now.
Good bowling. We'll do it again next week and have a preview next Wednesday.
Yeah, some great bowling down there. And I know one of the teams ended, might have been, no, it wasn't. But they ended with like 32 out of 33 strikes to end the night.
That's sick.
Yeah. Well, that's a threshold that we can only, you know, aim to try to accomplish sometime soon. Those are five stars. Bowling down the line right there. But big thanks to May City, and we will do it again next week. Looking forward to that. And thanks to everybody over there. What's the phone number, Mark?
362-0136. Or plenty of information on the website as well, maycitybowlcr.com.
We'll talk Iowa, Ohio State, preview that more. Podcast is available for download coming up tomorrow as well. We'll take a look at the college football and pro football weekend in detail coming up on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Again, Kennedy and Hempstead tonight, 7:15 for the pregame on crmlivesports.com. John Haggerty and I will have the call for that one. And we've got tonight on KGYM for you at 6 o'clock, game 2 between Houston and the New York Yankees. Have a good night, Mark.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide